Papa Dunk was quick. Papa Dunk would have that quip ready to go whenever he was talking with Chris. So some of the sounds from Dunk's playing days, and of course when Dunk and I used to do the show The Turn. It's the Fast Lane right now, though. I'm Anthony Stalter alongside World Series champion Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. And let's head to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line as we're honoring what would have been Dunk's 39th birthday today here on 101 ESPN. We're going to chat with one of his former teammates, Skip Schumacher. And Skip, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it, guys.
Skippy, we were joking around a little bit off the top of how fitting it is that Chris Duncan's birthday just happens to also be Cinco de Mayo. I mean, it's a match made in heaven right there, isn't it?
I know. Can you imagine what he was doing on Cinco de Mayo, every Cinco de Mayo? I mean, he played hard, he ran hard, he did everything hard. So there's probably a few margaritas going down on his birthday for sure.
Yeah, you think? No doubt about it. Hey, I'm wondering for you, Skip, because I know you got drafted, I believe it was 2001. Dunk had been in the organization for a couple of years beforehand. Do you recall the first time that you met Dunk or maybe the first time that you guys were teammates?
Yeah, actually the first time was at Instructional League in 2001. You know, Chris came in as this, you know, top prospect, you know, first rounder, big dude. I came in as not a top rounder, not a big dude. And so we were obviously complete opposites. You know, I was a little bit younger, came out of college, and didn't really know what kind of dynamic it would be friendship-wise. You know, that was, he had, you know, Gabe Johnson and Carmen Kelly, and all these guys have already played together. So there's kind of like that network of guys that he was best buddies with. But, you know, the great thing about Dunk is, you know, he just put his arm around everybody, even at a young age, 19 years old, 20 years old at the time, and invited you right into the group to make you feel comfortable. And, you know, just a, you know, larger than life personality already at 19, 20 years old. And even at Instructs, we had, you know, crazy rain delays in Instructional League. That was when I first was like, oh man, I want a rain delay every day for Chris Duncan stories. And it already happened, you know, way back when.
Well, what's the best one, or at least one you can tell us?
Yeah, that's what makes it difficult. How you can tell these stories over the radio. I think, you know, him and Shelley's you know, relationship throughout the years was, you know, best buddies, get on each other. But I think, you know, one of my favorite ones was when Chris and Shelley played together and Chris put up on his, or played against each other, and Chris put up, you know, Raining Men with his walk-up song, Shelley's walk-up song. So every time Shelley came up to bat four or five times that night, and there wasn't many people in the stands at all, and it was Raining Men, Hallelujah, it's Raining Men, every time he went up to bat, was pretty interesting for me, you know, at the time.
Skip Schumacher is the current associate manager with the San Diego Padres, former teammate of our pal Chris Duncan. He joins us right now on the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Skip, you made the position switch when you played for the Cardinals. We know, and Dunk was so self-deprecating about his switch from first base to left field, but Brad and I were talking about it. He really worked at it. He was self-deprecating much later, but he worked at it. Can you talk about how difficult that whole process was, not only for you, but watching Dunk go through it as well?
Yeah, I remember Tony saying, you know, even my position change, this was going back, you know, with George Kisel. He asked George Kisel, you know, how would you do position changes? This is Tony talking. He said, it's really up to the guy that you're asking to do the position change. What kind of character does he have, and what kind of work ethic? And if he has the work ethic and the character, like a strong backbone, then he'll be able to do it. And as we all know, Chris, he's all in. On everything he does, he's all in. Probably in the radio, he was all in. In all the stories I've heard, I know hitting, he was all in. First base, he was all in. Whatever, relationships, he was all in. So you knew that Chris was going to give you everything he had every single day. Whatever was asked of him, and was asked of him at the time, was to get his bat in the lineup, because there was a really big bat that we needed in the lineup, and the spot that opened, obviously, was not first base, was the outfield, and he put in the work like nobody I've ever seen. I actually was, I admired it every single day. It helped me in my position change because I saw what he put into it. And, you know, yes, did he make a few errors? Of course. Was it pretty? No. Was my position change pretty to second base? No. But it helped win a World Series each time. And that's what you have to look at it as, like, you know, it didn't cost us many big games. Tony got you out of that position in the eighth and ninth inning where he could really mess it up and got somebody else out there that could help catch the ball. But, you know, for that 7-8 innings that he was in there, you know, he was getting a big hit after big hit or big walk or big RBI. And everybody loved Chris because of the work he put into it. So no one had anything in our clubhouse had anything bad to say about him.
Skip, I was laughing as you were saying that. The is it always pretty? Did he make a couple of errors? Because all I could picture is hearing Dunk say, make a couple errors in the World Series, and all of a sudden you're a liability. I love it. I love it so much. Skippy, you talked about the strong backbone, and this is something I think we're going to end up talking about a little bit down the road today. But he had fans wear him out about it. I'm sure he had other players wear him out about it. And I bet organizationally, especially in the lower levels, he had other players that would rib him about his dad being Papa Dunk. And of course, you know, oh, this guy's going to make it. Silver Spoon, he's going to make it. I contest, Skip, that made his life harder than it made it easier. What do you think about that dynamic there and just kind of how he had to navigate around that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he was not, for me, Silver Spoon at all. He had 200 in the Florida State League, I think it was. Went to AA, struggled, but I think the best guy for him at the time was Mark DeJean, DJ, who just retired. And he let it known that, you know, he was out in the open, made fun of him. You know, daddy's boy, whatever. And it was okay for people to make fun of him. Chris was out in the open about being dad. You know, my dad's the coach. You know, better watch what you say around me, that type of thing. but it was always like, because of the work he put in and how funny he was, and it was okay to talk about, you know, Papa Dunk's son and, you know, Shelly and all that stuff. It just seemed like, you know, Big Dunk was just a Hall of Fame coach. And, you know, the way it works in St. Louis organization is you have to earn your promotion. And he earned everything that he got. He earned the promotion to AAA. He earned the promotion to the big leagues. He also earned the demotion back to AAA. He earned everything. And so I think, you know, for anybody to say, oh, you know, it's just a first rounder, you know, Dave Duncan's son, you know, whatever, you know, get called up. That is not the case at all, because we don't win a World Series in 2006 without Chris, bottom line. And, you know, there's a lot of first-rounders who didn't make it that you could say, oh, you know, first-rounder got to the big leagues. Well, there's a lot of Justin Pope, you know, my draft didn't make it first-rounder. So I think everyone in St. Louis, you know, because of the organization, doesn't matter what your father does, you earn the right to get to the big leagues up there, which is not the case in a lot of organizations.
Well, there are a lot of things that everything that you've just mentioned is, I mean, the one word to really encapsulate it is humility. And there aren't as many people you would think that have it in the way he did. Was that, and I know you went back to the days when you met for the first time in the minor leagues. Were you struck by that? The fact that here is somebody with all of those things you talked about, to, you know, to be a first round pick, to have a dad who's well established in the major leagues and everybody knows who he is. Is it, or were you surprised that he was like that?
I was surprised. Yeah, absolutely. But I also, what I saw in Chris is he had really good feel. So you could tell that he grew up in a clubhouse, wasn't a prima donna, didn't ask for you know, extra stuff, whether it was, more bats from the clubby or better food or whatever it is. He was just one of the guys. And he noticed it right away that he was raised the right way. He was a grinder. And that's what I took from Chris. It wasn't just this prima donna show up in a Mercedes, whatever it was. Chris was just one of us. But he knew the big league lifestyle and helped us when we got to the big leagues and helped us, taught me a bunch about the big leagues before I even got there, what to expect, what time to get there, all the work that Dave Duncan does with scouting reports was like blew my mind. And so a lot of the talks, yeah, a lot of was funny talks. I couldn't wait for Randolph's and Shelley stories and that stuff. But a lot of it also was, hey, what's it like in the big leagues? And he was so open to talk about it because he grew up in the clubhouse. And so that was a lot of fun for us.
Skip, you know, right now we're all going through something pretty significant that we never really thought we were going to have to deal with. And I'm wondering from your perspective, if Major League Baseball gets back and gets going again, or says they want to get going again and has a plan and ready to go and they say this is what we're doing, do you think there are going to be a lot of players that you are aware of that will say, no, I'm not doing that, I'm not playing?
I haven't heard of anybody say, no, I don't want to play. All of our guys are ready to go, want to play, stop hitting into a net, throwing long toss at a park, whatever it is. A lot of guys are ready to go. I haven't seen it. It's going to be different, obviously, if there's no fans or if there's that three-division, it could, and who knows what's going to happen. But I think guys have had enough of a break. Obviously, with everyone being healthy, there's going to be a lot of different things that happen, that have to happen when you enter a clubhouse, when you leave a clubhouse, and the safety of the player. And honestly, the thing that I worry about is the older coaches. And so as long as the older coaches and staff and clubhouse staff are safe, then I think people are ready to roll.
Skip, we know that your time is limited. We can't thank you enough for coming on the Fast Lane today, sharing some memories about Dunk, and we hope that the baseball season returns quickly so that we can see you back here in St. Louis again.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a margarita for Dunk today for sure.
Yeah, buddy.
We'll have more than that. You know that, Skip. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. See
you. Thanks. That's Skip Schumacher here on 101 ESPN, Dunk's former teammate. By the way, go to 101ESPN.com. Limited edition Dunctionary t-shirt. They're now available. If you remember the old school Dunctionary t-shirts that we used to have for 101 ESPN, they're back, but they're back and they're better than ever, quite frankly. The shirt looks great. It's red, CD16 on the front, the Dunctionary terms on the back. If you buy one, every cent goes to the Chris Duncan Scholarship Fund at ChrisDuncanScholarship.com. But we'll make sure that money, all the proceeds, go to his scholarship fund. We've got his wife, Amy Duncan, coming up a little bit later on, his brother, Shelly Duncan, come on up as well, and we'll share stories throughout the course of the day because we've got loads of them. Coming up next on the Fast Lane with Chris Ronji, Brad Thompson, I'm Anthony Stalter. What's trending here on 101 ESPN?